Hey everybody, welcome into another episode of Investing in Real Estate. This is the podcast where we have a laser focus on buy and hold real estate, all around helping us create passive income, finding your financial freedom number, and building legacy wealth for you and your family. And the vehicle by which we do that is real estate. And we've got a great guest on the show today. His name is Nav Athwal. He's the CEO and founder of Realty Shares. It's a curated online marketplace for real estate investing. And his platform connects individual and institutional investors to private U.S. real estate investments. He's raised over $300 million across more than 550 deals in 35 states. He is an expert. And today, I'm excited to talk with Nav because we're going to not just talk about Realty Shares. We're going to talk about some of the new bells and whistles, some of the technology that exists out there and is changing the space of real estate investing. So two tech guys geeking out a little bit. Nav, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Clayton. Really excited to be here.
So you as a tech guy, I'm a tech guy, and we'll dive into more of the little bells and whistles in the changing marketplace in a moment, but here, I want to hear about your journey, your story. How did you get started in real estate investing?
Yeah, so I've actually been in real estate for over a decade, and I started my career in real estate as a broker. So I was helping folks buy and sell single-family homes, small commercial buildings in and around the Bay Area, and then went from there to law school, graduated from Berkeley in 2010, and started practicing real estate law here in San Francisco, working with mostly institutional clients, so public REITs, private REITs, helping them acquire land, acquire assets, and also develop new projects within existing raw land areas. So did that for a couple years and always have been very passionate about real estate as an investment class. And so I started investing in real estate properties in 2010. As most folks know, it's a really good time to buy properties. So just really good opportunities out there. And my biggest pain point became finding capital. So trying to circle capital for my deals, you know, was consuming 50 to 60% of my time. And really what I wanted to be focused on was actually, you know, finding good deals and managing those deals. So that pain point of raising capital is what really prompted the idea behind Realty Shares, which essentially, on the one hand, connects real estate companies, operators that are looking to acquire assets with a whole new network of investors that are looking for passive participation in real estate. So my journey has really been mostly in the offline world. And now over the last 3 years, we're sort of transforming through Realty Shares how real estate investing and real estate capital raising works by using technology and by using what I think is tremendous scale within this otherwise massive asset class.
So this pain point, it's the scratch your own itch, which is often the best form of innovation. You're looking for capital. Yeah. Why don't I just create a system that helps me find capital? So how does Realty Shares work?
So we have we're an online marketplace, and we have two sides to our marketplace. On the one hand, we have individual and institutional investors that have signed up, and they're looking to earn yields backed by real estate. So they can create a free account and then access deals across the U.S. and invest as little as $5,000 directly through our marketplace, and then manage those investments through an integrated dashboard that gives them all their reporting and tax information on an ongoing basis. So that's one side of our marketplace. The other side is real estate companies, operators, much like myself back in 2010, that are in the business of buying and selling and managing real estate and are looking for more innovative ways to raise capital than what banks have historically provided them or their friends and family. And what we provide them is access to, as I mentioned before, a brand new network of investors. And we could raise capital in a fraction of the time that it takes traditional sources. So our average time to raise capital is 2 weeks, whereas it would take, you know, 60 days from a bank. So we, through our marketplace, connect these two sides of the market and allow them to transact much more efficiently. And the entire transaction process is online. So there's no, you know, signing of documents offline. There's no big, you know, paper filled processes. It's all streamlined and programmatic, which is, you know, very exciting for real estate.
That's great. That's great. So when you look at raising capital, I mean, this is the thing that holds most people back, right? They think that they cannot take action on something, and they really would love to, you know, they would love to find a way to get capital, get access to regular capital so that they can, you know, become a buy and hold investor. That's what we focus here on this podcast about, but even for flipping properties and otherwise. Does Realty Shares help people do that?
Yeah, that's exactly what we do. So if you're looking, I mean, as you mentioned, capital and raising capital, tends to consume a lot of the time for real estate investors. And it takes away from, you know, what they really want to be doing, which is finding properties and operating those properties. And what we really, our mission here at Realty Shares is to make raising capital an afterthought, something that becomes sort of very easy, programmatic. And so that's really what we do. We're allowing private real estate operators, developers, to raise capital much more efficiently, broaden their network of investors, and use Realty Shares as their go-to capital source, whether they need debt or equity capital for their deal. We do have a curation function. I think you mentioned that in your intro. So we are evaluating deals, looking at sponsors, and we're looking to partner with sponsors that have a track record, that have good assets they're looking to buy, good strategies. So we don't accept everybody. We're not an open marketplace, but our mission is to make capital raising much easier and to transform how real estate investing works for both passive and active investors.
So walk me through how this would work. Let's say I log on for the very first time. What can I expect? Can you walk me through sort of a step-by-step? And let's say I'm a buy and hold investor. I would like to raise $100,000. That would be my goal. First of all, can I do that? Is that even allowed through you? Is there a minimum? Is there a maximum? And then just walk me through those steps. If someone's driving right now, I'd love to sort of paint a picture of how it works behind the scenes.
Sure. So we do have a minimum. So we typically are looking to put at least $75,000 of capital to work. So your $100,000 example would fit well within that. And we top off at about $3 million. So that range is $75,000 to $3 million on a per transaction basis. And we're continuing to add more investors to our marketplace. That upper threshold will increase over time, but that's where we're at today. So if you're a buy and hold investor, you're looking for $100,000, the first thing you do is you come to realtyshares.com and you fill out an application. The application will just ask you a little bit about the deal, about your background, about your track record, maybe some information on your financial background, like, you know, is your credit score good? Have you had a bankruptcy, et cetera? And this takes about 3 minutes to complete. Pretty streamlined, pretty efficient. And once you submit that application, we will then use that to automatically qualify you or tell you, hey, sorry, your deal or your track record just doesn't fit the Realty Shares marketplace today, and maybe even suggest ways to improve that for your next deal. Assuming you're pre-qualified, then we take you through an onboarding process, and that's really collecting data on the deal from you. So hopefully you'll have at least a financial projection, maybe some third-party reports like an appraisal or a broker's price opinion, and then also some additional data on your background, your existing portfolio, your historical performance. And once we collect all that data, then we take you through an underwriting process that takes about 3 to 5 days. And just making sure that, you know, our credit policy, your deal fits within our credit policy and within our standards. Once that's done, then we'll approve you and list your opportunity onto the marketplace. So once it's listed on the marketplace, it becomes available to our thousands and thousands of investors that are looking to put small amounts to work in that deal. And we can typically complete a fundraise once it's on the marketplace in as little as, you know, a couple hours and as long as maybe a week. So it's a pretty efficient process if you're looking for capital, in that we have a broad set of products across both debt and equity. We do both fix and flips, but also buy and hold strategies. And we have this broad set of investors that are looking to buy and can help you fund your deal pretty quickly.
So you mentioned 75 was the minimum threshold to be able to, and that could be, is it on a per deal basis? You mentioned, you know, having like this particular house, 123 Main Street. Is that something you need to have ahead of time? A lot of people, you know, try to find the money and then they don't have the property. And then the very first thing happens is the private lender says, well, great, we'll help you, but you got to get a property first.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's a great question. So we will accept applications whether you have a property or not, because we understand some real estate investors are a little anxious about circling their capital before looking for deals. And when you're buying real estate, you have to be very competitive. The great deals are going to have a lot of competition. So having your capital ready is definitely a competitive advantage. So what we do is, if you submit an application and you have a deal, we'll prioritize that first because we know that you have limited time to get that transaction done. And so if you do have a deal, you'll get put to the top of the queue and you'll get serviced quicker than if you don't have a deal. But we will also look at companies and sponsors that don't have a deal and just want to get pre-qualify them so that when they have their next deal, they know they could come to Realty Shares and abbreviate that otherwise, you know, 2-week process because they've already been pre-qualified with us. So whether you have a deal or not, we will look at your application. We'll just prioritize those that have a deal first because they're timing shorter.
So what goes into determining whether or not your well, fitting your threshold, that you would then open it up to your community. Is there a minimum buy-in? Is there a minimum value on a property, a minimum appraised value?
Well, the minimum raise size just has to meet that $75,000. And then outside of that, depending on if you're looking for debt or equity, we have certain leverage limits and certain requirements around track record. So we publish a lot of that on our website. If you look at, if you go to realtyshares.com, there's a learn more section where you can find out more about the minimums, the LTVs we'll lend at, and the type of deals we'll provide equity and debt capital for. So that's all made publicly available. And so what we're really trying to do when you submit an application to us is determine if your deal fits those parameters. And if it does, and if you have the minimum track record requirements, then we'll go ahead and approve you. Right now, we're probably accepting about 5% of applications. So it is a pretty stringent process. And we are looking for that track record, because ultimately what we're trying to do as a marketplace is curate, provide the best opportunities to our investors, because that's what keeps them coming back and investing, and investing larger amounts over time. So it's a pretty small hit rate. But once you're in the fold, once you've raised capital successfully, the process on your subsequent deals, we want to be a partner with our sponsors and do more than just one deal with them, is much more efficient. And your chance of getting approved on that next deal is very, very high, because we already have all your data and we already have that process that we've run through on your prior deal. So that's typically how it works.
Gotcha. So let me just ask a sort of a hypothetical here, but playing off of what you just said. So if I'm just a new investor, I don't have a track record, I've never, found a property, and I don't own any buy and hold investments other than the property I live in with my family, you might not pass the threshold test based on your track record. But what if that same person went to, and this is not a sales pitch for my own company, but if they came to like my company, Morris Invest, and we got them two properties, we have a track record, we do hundreds of homes, so we have a track record with happy, clients all over the world. Does that help that person, or is it really down to that individual's own track record?
Yeah, it's a great question. So, typically we want to see that individual's track record, but there have been instances where they have a partner or an affiliate that has the track record where they don't, and we'll look at that as a combined track record. Ultimately, what we're trying to do is be a provider of capital for those that have done it before, right? Gotcha. Because ultimately, when you invest in real estate, your expertise and your ability to navigate the strategy and the process is a big indicator of success. So a lot of first-time investors, albeit being a first-time investor, we all know how that goes, right? we've all been there and we know right. It's a difficult process because you're still learning the ropes. It's just not today that our platform doesn't cater to that type of active investor. But a lot of folks that want access to passive real estate investments use us on the other side, right? So they may not be ready today to raise capital, but they want to earn income from real estate, and they come on the investor side, take small positions and assets across the US, build a diversified portfolio, and don't have to worry about the active management. But if you're wanting to do an active participation, then yes, you do have to have some of that track record, and coupling it with others, like yourself and your company, definitely helps in the process of vetting.
Great, great. Let's talk a little bit about the terms. And what sort of interest rates, what are the length of the loans and the notes that you guys are providing and are connecting investors with and other investors? What is a typical, let's say, first of all, let's do a buy and hold as an example. What would a typical note look like on that?
Yeah, so most of our debt products today are for shorter term bridge. So we actually today don't have a product for the buy and hold, although that is changing. We're going to launch later this year a buy and hold note product. So I can talk about what that will look like, but let me talk a little bit first about what we have. So if you're looking for a 12-month loan and you're really looking to buy an asset, put some work into it, and then either sell it or refinance it and hold it as a rental property, a buy and hold strategy, we can provide you with capital where the interest rate can be as low as 8%, and that's much cheaper than those local hard money lenders you probably rely on today, and it could be as high as 12%. That fluctuates based on things like LTV that's requested, the FICO of the underlying borrower, as well as their liquid net worth and assets. For the buy and hold strategy, so that's a 12-month loan. Now, we are evaluating loans for folks that are looking to buy a property and then actually rent it and hold it. And that the risk profile of that's lower because you have a tenant in there, the work's already been completed, it's more stabilized. The interest rates there would be a lot lower than we provide today. I would expect them to be in that 5-7% range. And that'd be probably a 3-year or 5-year product with a balloon at the end of the term. So that's how we're thinking about the buy and hold strategy, albeit it's not something we're originating today for our borrowers.
Gotcha. Now, what about a short-term flip?
And that's, so the short-term flip, it would fit within that, that product 12, I mentioned.
Yeah, the 12 months.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, 6 to 12 months. You know, if you're looking, if it's a really short-term hold and flip, then it can be as short as 6 months. And there we're providing that 8-12% interest rate. And we can provide capital from start to finish. So from your submission of your application to capital in your bank account in 10 days, we're very quick. And again, we get quicker with your subsequent deals with us. And we want to be a repeat player for borrowers that they can rely on for every deal they do.
That's great. When you look at the marketplace right now, you obviously, with all of the investors that you're working with in your network, what are you hearing from them? Are they excited about the future of the real estate market for not only, you know, not only construction flips, but also buy and hold? Or are they, you know, a little hesitant? We've got a new administration. Where are their heads at?
Yeah, I think we have so many different investors, and we have institutions, individuals, and each investor has their own sort of philosophy on the market. And I think, and it also depends on where you live, right? We've seen a lot of price appreciation in the coasts, especially in the Bay Area. So there's a lot of investors there that are starting to get a little antsy about valuation in the Bay Area. They think it's gotten to a level where it's not sustainable. Rents are too high. People are getting priced out of San Francisco, moving to Oakland, et cetera. So if you're in San Francisco, your picture of where the real estate market is much different than if you're in the Midwest, for example. I think some of the positive things influencing psychology around real estate is real estate still, we're still in an expansionary cycle. It is still one of the only ways to earn yield. If you look at the bond markets, fixed income, you know, yields because of historically low interest rates are really low. And in real estate, you can earn, 7-8% on an annual basis if you're investing in equity. So there is a real yield and return potential that you're not getting with a lot of other assets. So that's a positive element of what folks are thinking about. I think a negative element is definitely the uncertainty with this new administration, what's going to happen under the presidency. I think there's some positive, like deregulation, whether you're a proponent or opponent, will make lending easier, which could positively impact first-time home buyers and actually positively impact the market. But then there's things like rising interest rates, which will negatively impact the market potentially because it'll make the cost of debt more expensive. It'll cause cap rates to change. So I think there are good and bad things happening out in the market and the macro environment that are making real estate attractive and potentially not as attractive. But I think one thing is definitely clear. The investors that use our platform believe real estate is a real way to diversify. They've been historically excluded from real estate because it's very capital intensive. It's hard to find quality deals and invest passively. And so they want to diversify and build a real estate portfolio. They have limited options to do so outside the public REIT market. And whether they feel like real estate's overheated or not, they still want that exposure. And they just may be a little bit more methodical about it as the market continues to go from, fifth inning to seventh, ninth inning, where we could potentially see a correction.
You're out there in Silicon Valley. Tell us about some of the tech that's exciting for you in the world of real estate right now. Obviously, Realty Shares is in of itself pretty advanced technology on the platform that you've built there. But tell us some of the bells and whistles that you're excited about.
Yeah, real estate is interesting. It's this massive, trillions of market cap asset class, but it's changed very little in terms of technology and technology impact. And, obviously we talked about Realty Shares and what we're doing. And before this whole new wave of tech platforms where the predecessors like Trulia and Zillow that really made real estate access to real estate data much more efficient. And what I'm excited about now is we're actually seeing startups and companies start influencing the transaction process within real estate. And so there's a couple of companies I think that are worth mentioning. There's a company called Opendoor, and I think they've gotten a lot of publicity. And what they're essentially doing is if you have a single family home and you're looking to sell that single family home, you typically have to go through this long, lengthy process of, doing disclosures and inspections, and you have an escrow period. And what Opendoor essentially says is if you want to sell a property, you come to us. We're going to give you the valuation we'll buy it at within 24 hours, and then we're going to complete the purchase within a few days. So essentially it takes that entire waiting game out of selling real estate if you're someone who's looking to sell a home. So that's a very interesting new platform, and they use a lot of machine learning to arrive at the value that they want to buy the property at, so it's very efficient. So that's one that's pretty exciting. There's a company called Breather. We've all heard of Airbnb. Airbnb is obviously game-changing in terms of hospitality and how you think about your home as an investment vehicle, and also how you think about living in environments that you are visiting. So instead of staying in a hotel, which is typically confined to one district within the city, you live among the locals. So it's belong anywhere is their motto. And Breather is sort of the same thing for office space. It's being able to rent short-term office space. You know, what's interesting these days, especially in Silicon Valley, is every place can be an office. So you see people taking calls from Starbucks and coffee shops, and that's become the de facto office for young startups, burgeoning startups, and Breather's trying to take that to the next level. So I think, you know, those are some of the companies I think worth mentioning, but I think technology is now infiltrating real estate in a big way, which is something that historically hasn't happened. And we're going to see a lot of innovation within this space, and we're excited to be at the forefront and doing it for real estate capital raising and investing. But there are so many other innovators out there that are changing how we think about real estate, how we interact with real estate, how we transact with real estate. I think they're going to build some pretty game-changing movements as a result.
You obviously got started as a broker. Do you see some big shifts? We've seen obviously with Zillow and other places like that and other websites over the years, Trulia, et cetera, Redfin. Obviously, you know, realtors and the MLS have quite a lock on that marketplace. You know, yeah. Do you see any shift there? I mean, that union is pretty strong, right?
Yeah, I think the broker space is so hard to displace because they're so integrated within the transaction process. And when you think about it, someone's looking to buy a home. That's a big decision, right? I don't think a lot of people feel comfortable making that decision and going through that process without what they perceive as an expert, and the brokers are perceived as experts. You know, you can argue that some are experts and others really don't know much at all beyond what the consumer would know, but they still have this license that gives them a de facto expertise within the market. So I think so many people rely on brokers because they just don't feel comfortable making a $500,000 investment decision, even if you're using it as a place you live in, without the help of an expert. And so I think that's one thing that's made it really hard to displace brokers. And I think, although brokers, I don't think, are going anywhere. And I think you can see from the early days of Zillow and Trulia, where they went from saying, hey, we're going to actually make it easier for you to buy a home without using a broker. Now their biggest customers in terms of advertising are brokers. So you've seen a lot of companies think they could displace brokers and realize it's not that easy. Right. But I think what is happening,
Oh, I was just agreeing with you.
Yeah. What I think is happening, though, is brokers are starting to, they have to become more honest, right? So I think the information asymmetry that existed and how people bought homes through brokers is now being sort of eradicated through technology. And so brokers over time, and I think smart brokers will pay attention to this, are going to need to start proving their value in a bigger way. Just bringing somebody a property off an MLS and saying, hey, I can help you buy this and I'm going to take a 3% commission, I don't think that's enough. You have to start adding value that your client expects if you want to stay relevant. And I think that's the biggest change that's happening, although I don't think brokers are going to go anywhere anytime soon.
Right. Well, we're seeing some of the television commercials over the past couple of years, or at least in the past year, I've seen them, you know, where people are sitting there doing research on the internet, and then the couple goes out and actually meets with a real estate agent and takes them around to the neighborhoods, knows the neighborhoods, shows them navigate, exactly. You know, I think there's even one commercial where I think a realtor breaks into a house through a doggy door. I don't know if you've seen that.
I haven't seen that one.
He like sticks his head in just to make sure that his clients will be safe when he opens the door, but he's like climbing through the house. It's pretty funny. But I think
over 80% of searches for a home still begin online, but very few of them actually are completed without a broker. So what you said is exactly right. People have a lot of information at their fingertips now, and they're going to do a ton of research on the property, the market, before they go to a broker. And so the broker really needs to be informed, because sometimes the clients are going to know a lot. And if you don't know, you know, what they expect you to know, then they're going to quickly determine that, and, you know, you're going to lose business as a result.
Right. And it's so important to know those neighborhoods. So I think there's going to still be strong value for a broker or a real estate agent. Right. Well, great. Well, I'll get you out of here. One more question. I'd love to know what your thoughts are going forward, and where do you see Realty Shares you know, in the next 1 to 2 years of growth, when you look at the current marketplace, what does your crystal ball tell you?
That question, I could talk about that all day. So I think one thing will stay the same. I mean, our mission has always been, we want to change real estate investing. We want to make it more efficient through technology, create better transparency, and really create better access for capital if you're looking to acquire an asset and actively manage it, or investments if you're looking for passive participation within an asset class to allow you to diversify. And I think some of the things that we're really excited about is the continued focus we have on technology and product and design, and how we can use those elements to continue creating a better customer experience on both sides of the marketplace. So we're really starting to create more automation around how we originate, how we underwrite, how we curate, and that's providing even shorter timeframes in terms of access to capital. We're also continuing to add more tools for investors that want to access deals and manage those deals through our marketplace. And if you look at our company in 3 to 5 years, I think what it'll resemble is sort of an ecosystem for real estate investing. And you could kind of equate it to like a NASDAQ for real estate, where you have these diverse sets of investors across the institutional and individual spectrum, allocating capital through our marketplace to get access to a diverse set of commercial and residential investment properties, both across the debt and equity parts of the cap stack. So I think what we're really creating is this massive ecosystem that changes real estate from this hyper-local asset to a financial product that people can use to diversify, and where we can actually provide efficient capital for sponsors that have been underserved in the offline world. So it's a really excited about that mission, and we're just getting started, but a lot of room for growth and a lot of exciting things still to build.
Wonderful. And I'm excited about your buy and hold, strategy, I guess, the buy and hold product. When that goes into place, we'd love to have you back on, even talk a little bit more deeply about that. How far off do you think that is on your roadmap?
I think we're probably 2 quarters out. So I think we're anticipating that to either be a late Q3 or early Q4. We're already starting to do the research around how we'd structure it and put the capital in place. And I'd love to come back once it's launched and talk about it a bit more. And it'll be exciting times for the company.
Perfect. Perfect. Absolutely. Well, Nav, in the meantime, where can people learn more about everything you're working on?
So realtyshares.com, just go visit us at our website, and we can give, there's a lot of data on the platform, how it works, whether you're an investor or sponsor. So visit us there, and we look forward to hearing from you.
Wonderful. And we'll have all of this linked up on our website as well, in case you're driving, you missed any of this. This is, just head over to our website at morrisinvest.com/episode137, episode 137, and you'll have links to everything that Nav and I were just talking about. Nav, it's been a real pleasure having you here on the show. Thanks so much for your time.
Yep. Thanks so much.
And thanks to all of you for downloading and subscribing to the podcast. We really appreciate it. Thanks once again for all of your kind 5-star reviews in the iTunes store. It means the world to us and helps other people discover the show. You know what? If you've got like a loved one nearby, maybe grandma has an iPhone, just grab her iPhone and just go and download the podcast on her iPhone. And she'll say, "What are you doing with my phone?" And just say, "You know what? I'm going to borrow your phone for a moment, grandma. I want you to listen to this podcast. And oh, I'm going to write a 5-star review for you right here on the on your phone too. Grandma will thank you." Or she'll be angry. If she's angry, don't tell me about it. If she's happy about it, then you can send me an email. We'll be back here on Monday with another episode of Investing in Real Estate. We publish 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And we'll see you back here on Monday, everyone. Now go out there, take action, and become a real estate investor.